There's a thread running through today's infrastructure stories that I want to name explicitly before we get into the details. The gap between what engineering communities know and what gets deployed in production. The Kubernetes CPU limits post has existed in various forms for years. The systemd journal disk write amplification bug was filed in July and is already accumulating comments about how widespread the impact is. The Choose Boring Technology essay from 2015 is getting its third or fourth wave of HN front page attention. These aren't new discoveries. They are recurring failures of knowledge transfer.
The Kubernetes CPU limits analysis is a good example of this. The argument is straightforward. CPU limits in Kubernetes cause throttling through the Linux CFS scheduler in ways that are deeply counterintuitive. A pod can appear to be using a fraction of its CPU request, but still experience throttling because of how time slices are allocated. The result is latency spikes that look like application bugs, but are actually scheduler behavior. The post has 31 points and 18 comments, which undersells its practical importance.
This is one of those cases where the HN audience score doesn't capture the full impact, because the people who most need to read it are not necessarily the HN regulars who have already read three previous versions of this argument. Platform engineers at mid-sized companies who are inheriting Kubernetes clusters they didn't design are exactly the audience who benefit most from this analysis, and they're less likely to be front-page HN voters.
The systemd journaled story is more alarming in a different way. The GitHub issue documents that a single log line, one line, can trigger 49 kilobytes of disk writes on X4 and over 110 kilobytes on BTRFS because of how journaled handles metadata, fsync behavior, and file system journal entries. If you're running a high-throughput application on a system that logs verbosely, this write amplification can be consuming a meaningful fraction of your storage I or O budget without anyone realizing the source.
226 points and 156 comments. The HN community took this seriously. Several commenters ran their own measurements and confirmed the behavior, which is the kind of peer validation that turns a single issue report into an actionable signal. The practical implication for anyone running systemd journaled at scale is either to audit your log volumes aggressively or to look hard at whether you want to route high-frequency logging through a different path.
The Choose Boring Technology essay resurfacing is interesting because the 2026 comment thread is substantively different from what the 2015 thread must have looked like. The context now includes a I-generated code, which creates a new axis on Dan McKinley's original argument. His point was essentially that every new technology you adopt has an innovation token cost. You have a limited budget for how many unfamiliar systems you can operate well simultaneously. In 2026, that argument extends to, what does boring mean when iTooling can generate working code in any framework?
Several commenters in the thread make the point that I actually increases the value of boring technology choices, not decreases it. If you choose a well-documented, widely used stack, the iTooling trained on that stack is better, the debugging assistance is better, and the generated code is more likely to follow established patterns. Choosing an exotic new framework means the AI assistance degrades proportionally. That's a 2026 corollary to McKinley's original argument that he couldn't have anticipated.
And then there's the How Compaction Works in Pi post, which got 174 points and covers the internals of the Pi distributed database's compaction mechanism. This is the kind of deep systems writing that HN consistently rewards, detailed, specific, showing real trade-offs rather than abstract architectural hand-waving. The author walks through exactly why LSM tree compaction is expensive, what Pi does differently, and what the throughput and latency implications are. It's the kind of post that engineers building storage systems bookmark and return to.
The Lumebri project, running mixture of experts models on a peer-to-peer swarm using the Calibri framework, is a more experimental entry in this space, scoring only 31 points, but it points towards something real. The compute distribution problem for large models is going to require creative infrastructure solutions, and the P2P approach is one that a small team can prototype cheaply, even if enterprise deployment at scale requires a different architecture.